This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
We participate in our progress towards spiritual maturity by simply receiving the ministry of proclamation. Receiving the ministry, both in our private lives as we open up our Bibles, but also in our church life as we proclaim the Word of God in the family.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, Become Like Him.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today it's our joy to open up the Bible to Colossians chapter 1, where we take up this subject of growing as a disciple of Jesus. You know, God calls every one of us to grow into maturity in Christ so that one day we might be presented to God as those who are complete in Christ. This life is a journey of growth, and Colossians 1 teaches us that one key element of our growth is the way we would listen to the Word of God as God presents His Word through His own local church. And so today I would just ask you, what kind of listener are you? You know, it's possible to listen, to be present, to hear the message of Christ being presented, and yet not really spiritually gain anything from it. That happens often. So it's really vital that we would listen with ears to hear, with a heart ready to receive, that we would listen truly by faith, and that we'd be willing to listen to every aspect of that message. Sometimes that message is going to be encouraging, instructing. Sometimes it's going to be warning and correcting and even rebuking. So as you listen to this message today, ask that God would give you ears to hear.
In the Air Force, pilots go through rigorous training to qualify as pilots. I do a lot of book learning. There's a lot of learning on the simulator, a lot of learning with the instructor flying. Then they go on these check rides. After all this long, months and months and months long process, there's a ceremony where they are presented as qualified to be an Air Force pilot. In that ceremony, their instructors are there. It's a great day of great adulation. They made it through, and they get these wings attached to their uniform. The wings signify, everyone understands, those wings mean this person has been presented as an Air Force pilot fully qualified to do this job. Sometimes the instructors who are there, they pin on the wings, and if they really think you're great, they give you what they call blood wings. The Air Force wings have these two prongs, and you're supposed to put the little pin on the back of them. If they think you did really great, what they do is they put it on your chest and they pound it into your chest. And you take off your shirt later and there's these blood all over your white t-shirt. That's if you're really good. Paul has this same kind of idea in view when he says, it's my goal in my proclaiming Christ and teaching and admonishing every person to present everyone mature. Well, that causes us a lot of questions, doesn't it? Where is the presentation? When does the presentation happen? And to whom are these folks presented? Well, we're helped to understand this if we read our Bibles a little bit before in the context to understand what Paul's talking about. Look at verses 21 and 22 of Colossians 1. He says, and you, speaking to the saints in the churches in Colossae, and you who are once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, that's who we were prior to Christ, he, Christ, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death. Isn't that amazing? He's reconciled us to God through his death. And then notice what he says. Why do you do this? In order to present you. This is the same word. We have Christ presenting his people as holy and blameless, that's fully qualified to be in God's family, fully qualified to reside forever in heaven and above reproach before him, before the Father. So when does this take place? This is Christ presenting every member holy and blameless before the Father. And he says, I want to be part of this presentation, and I'm going to be part of this presentation of presenting every member as spiritually mature. We're presenting to the same person, the Father. I believe we're going to be presenting, Jesus presents us, and then the spiritual leaders present those in the church on the same day, at the same time, with the same meaning. And that's the day when we stand before Jesus and God the Father at the judgment seat at the end of the age. Paul envisions a future day when all of us believers stand before God to give an account of our lives. What a day it will be. At this day, we don't stand before God individually in a private room. That's sometimes the picture we have. It's just going to me and God. We're going to, you know, he's going to tell me, you know, about my life. No, we stand with all the saints, but particularly we have interest in the people who are around us, the Christians we know, the brothers and sisters in our own church. And Jesus first presents us to the Father faultless, all because of his blood. We have his righteousness. But then spiritual leaders also are part of the presentation of the saints to the Father as spiritually mature. And again, it's fun to grow. It's fun to experience this maturity. And there's a day of great adulation for those who have become spiritually mature. And there's also great adulation for those who have helped one another become spiritually mature. It's a time of great cheering, a time of great joy. And the Apostle Paul uses this future day, this vision, as a motivation for his toil and his labors now, as a motivation to stay on target, to stay on goal, to stay on aim. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, this is what Paul says. On the day of our Lord Jesus, that's where he gives us the time frame, you will boast of us and we will boast of you. He says, what's going to happen is we all stand before God to give an account. We're all going to be all together. We have special interest in each one of those lives. So look around you for a moment. The folks that are sitting next to you are going to be with you on that day. And especially as you've had any kind of influence to encourage them towards spiritual maturity. And as you see Jesus presenting them and everything is being described, Paul says, on that day, you're going to have great joy in us. Like when we're presented to Jesus before the Father, you have great joy in us because you're going to see that how you treated us, how you encouraged us, how you responded to our spiritual leadership allowed us to receive this commendation, allowed us to receive the joy of this reward. And he says, and we will find great joy in you, that when you stand before God, we're going to recognize, hey, it's all God's glory, but God actually used us. And there is this great joyful celebration on this future day that becomes a huge driving motivation. Here's the principle. A driving motivation of every spiritual leader is a future day when we'll present those under our care to God. The role of the church on that last day is similar to the role of the flight instructors on the day that Air Force pilots receive their wings. They carry a heavy responsibility to help every member who enters that program, and they do it through teaching, and they do it through warning and admonition, correction, and often rebuke. That's all part of the process so that they can get to this last day and present them as fully qualified. Our mission is to help every member of Jesus' church that we are involved with, that we have a relationship with, be ready for that last day. Now, Jesus presents us before the Father. Spiritual leaders are part of this presentation. Lastly, one more idea that's presented in Scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. There's part of it that's just our own responsibility that says, hey, do your best so that on that day you're able to present yourself to God, a person who has participated in the work of the Spirit and the work of the church to help you become mature. We're going to talk about that at the end. So how do spiritual leaders in the church help every member grow in maturity? And again, this verse, it's so simple and yet so profound. Look at verse 28. Him we proclaim. He's talking about Christ. We proclaim Jesus Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. The means by which God uses his church to develop maturity in the life of believers is the proclamation of Jesus Christ. That proclamation includes teaching about Jesus, his person and his work and his will. That proclamation includes warning or admonition, exhortation about what is right about God's will and what is wrong about this world. And all of that, with all wisdom, is part of the process. It is the means by which the church is involved in our own spiritual maturity. We do not proclaim, the church must not rely on a proclamation of a certain philosophy, regardless how alluring that philosophy may be. We must not merely proclaim theology, a theology that kind of attracts our mind, it doesn't impact our heart. We must not merely proclaim a morality about what is right and what is wrong, even though that has a place in our discussions. We proclaim a person, and that person is the Son of God who took on flesh and has been revealed to us through the pages of God's Word, both Old and New Testament. We must not proclaim a Jesus who is not found in the Word of God. We must not proclaim a Jesus who is fashioned by our own imaginations, our own mystical visions. Just a couple verses earlier, look at what Paul says, Colossians 1:25. He says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known. The proclamation of Jesus is in alignment with making the word of God fully known. The whole word, from beginning to end, fully known in proclaiming Christ, teaching and admonishing everyone. The means God gives us to help other people mature in Christ is proclaiming Jesus through teaching and warning of biblical truth. I say that because there's a lot of other things that can be helpful, a lot of other ways to help a person grow and experience life, but this is the core. This is central. And just as an aside, it's really important for us to acknowledge that we must not proclaim a Jesus of human imagination, of mystical channeling, or of special visions. So many have a Jesus to proclaim who has little resemblance to the Jesus revealed to us by God's Word. When we proclaim Jesus, it's vital that we teach the Jesus who is revealed to us through the written Word of God. If we wish to grow in maturity in Christ, we will not listen to those who have special visions of Jesus. Now, I'm going to get in trouble here because I know some of you, but I want to give you an illustration of what I mean by this. And the illustrations are many. This just happens to be one that I know many folks, some in our own church, have embraced. But we must not listen to the Jesus that comes from special revelations or mystical experiences and visions like Sarah Young, who wrote a book called Jesus Calling, sold millions and millions and millions. And we must not proclaim a Jesus who has been revealed to us as we've learned those same practices of receiving mystical experiences and visions. If we are to grow mature in Christ, we will place ourselves under the proclamation of Jesus who is made known to us through God's Word. Just as a note on that, because I don't want to pass up that too quickly. I know perhaps that stirred some of you up because some may have said, boy, I've been blessed so much through Jesus Calling. Sarah Young First is not the only one presenting a Jesus who's discovered through special revelation from God apart from Scripture, but she's a very good example. In the introduction to her book, this is what she writes. I began to wonder if I could receive messages during my times of communing with God. She just began to wonder if she could receive direct messages. I had been writing in prayer journals for years, but that was a one-way communication. I did all the talking. I knew that God communicated with me through the Bible. So she says, I know that. She's been to a good seminary. But I yearned for more. You catch that? The Jesus proclaimed by the Word was deficient. I yearned for more than what the Bible said about Jesus. Increasingly, I wanted to hear what God had to say to me personally on a given day. She then makes the claim that her writing will do what the revelation of Jesus in the Bible will not do. She says, this practice of listening to God has increased my intimacy with Him more than any other spiritual discipline. You catch that? Listening actively to receive new visions, new revelation from God, helped her to grow in spiritual maturity more than any other discipline. Disciplines that are described in the Bible. Disciplines like prayer and meditation upon the Word. She says, this is the key.
She goes on to say, in many parts of the world, Christians seem to be searching for a deeper experience of Jesus' presence and peace. The messages that follow in her book address that felt need. Now skip over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 with me for a moment. He says, let no one disqualify you. Disqualify you from what? From maturity in Christ. Insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels. And then he says, going on in detail about visions. He says, don't let anyone get you into this kind of Christianity that takes you away from the true Jesus that Jesus has been revealed to us. Don't let anyone do that. It's really dangerous. It's really harmful. And then he says, such people are puffed up without reason by his sensual mind. And can't you understand how that happened? I don't know Sarah Young. I'm not here to make judgments about her character, but just about her writing. And her encouragement to follow this kind of practice, because that practice says, I can have a direct line with God. And what does that do? It pumps the pride full, as Paul says, of a sensuous mind. It's a feeling that I want, a feeling that I receive this special revelation apart from Scripture. Now, what does Paul say? Turn over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Now, here in this passage, this kind of teaching includes a positive aspect, that's warning, admonition, as a negative aspect as well as a positive one. Negatively, he says, we have to warn. Positively, we have to teach. Both are necessary parts of proclaiming Jesus. We warn against false doctrine, we teach true doctrine. We warn against false practices, we teach true practices. If pastors or elders only teach true messages about Jesus without correcting error, we will not be proclaiming Christ. Warning and teaching. I know that I risk having many of you become angry with me as a result of what I've just shared. Some have already been persuaded through personal experience that Sarah Young has helped them to become mature. But I'm warning against Sarah Young because she and others denies the sufficiency of God's word and promotes a process of discovering Jesus that feeds our vanity. I'm warning against Sarah Young because her Jesus is discovered outside the Word, and when you read her book doesn't sound much at all like the Jesus of the Word. While much of what she writes is consistent with the Jesus of the Bible, much of the Jesus of the Bible is completely absent. You say, what do I mean by that? Well, let's just look at Colossians. What did Paul say before he says, Christ we proclaim? Read this amazing paragraph in verse 15, 6 through 20 of Jesus. He says, he is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him is all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now I ask you, as you read that paragraph, one paragraph in the Bible about Jesus, why are we as believers attracted to something that's trite about Christ and not attracted to the marvelous depth that paints Jesus as this glorious King, God of very God, one so majestic as to be worthy of us falling upon our faces in worship? Why is that? And it's because I believe Satan is very active in the church to keep us from this one goal of presenting everyone mature in Christ. And that's why it's so important for us, the church, to have a laser focus. What is the goal and what is the means toward that end? And to this, we will give our lives. The means God gives to us to help ourselves and others mature in Christ is proclaiming Jesus through teaching and warning of biblical truth. The role of the follower in reaching the goal. So this is what the church does. This is what God is doing. What's our part? The Apostle Paul tells us in the chapters to follow that this is a very active part. It's participation. We participate actively. Look at chapters 2, verse 6 and 8. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. In other words, get up and begin to walk in him. Skip down to chapter 3, verse 1. Oh, he also says, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive. Chapter 3, verse 1, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated. Set your minds on the things that are above. Verse 5, put to death whatever is earthly. All of this is participation in God's work. Of course, we can't make ourselves spiritually mature, but we can participate through active focus. And I think the most central aspect of our participation is what Paul says in chapter 3, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We participate in our progress towards spiritual maturity by simply receiving the ministry of proclamation. Receiving the ministry, both in our private lives as we open up our Bibles, but also in our church life as we proclaim the word of God in the family. We receive it. What do I mean by receive it? I don't just simply mean listen to it and jot down some notes. We receive it actively by faith. That means before we open the word, before we come to listen to it, part of our active participation is, God, my heart is hard. My heart is resistant. My heart is distracted. Soften me so that I would open myself to your word. It means that when we are listening to the word, we're active. We're saying, God, I want to hear, and I want to hear actively, not just what you have to say here in content, but what you're saying to me, how you're moving me toward that next step of growing in Christ. And then afterwards, we say, and I'm not going to let one time of receiving the word lie on fallow ground without fruit. I'm going to make an application. I'm going to do something with this that God would have me to do to grow in Christ. So let's receive the word of God. Paul says, for this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me. So I ask you, are you a follower of Jesus? Consider him. He's Savior. He's King. He's God. He's Lord. Consider him. Call out to him now. He can give you new life. And if you are a follower of Jesus, know that Jesus himself is at work to mature you. Be encouraged. You're not alone in this. I know it's hard. I know it can be discouraging. You are not alone. You first have a shepherd who will be with you every step of the way. And then you have a spiritual family who also longs to come alongside one another so that we together would grow mature in Jesus.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now here's Rich.
I pray that Colossians chapter 1 has been a stimulant to help us become more and more excited as followers of Jesus Christ about growing into Christ's likeness, about becoming more and more like him. Well, we're thankful for you at Knowing Christ. We pray for our listeners. We pray that God would work in your life so that if you don't know Jesus as Savior, that God would open up your heart to see his excellence and to trust in him. And that if you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'd follow him. That you'd follow him and grow to become more like him and be used by him for his glory and become a person who God uses to share with unbelievers the greatness and goodness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, bring hope to many. So we want to give you a resource as you think about your own personal growth in Christ. It's a resource that I've used often as one of my most beloved books. It's called Holiness by J.C. Ryle. It really encourages us in our growth in Christ, everything we've been talking about in Colossians 1. If you'd like that book, we'd love to send it to you free so that it might be encouragement to you to grow for the glory of God.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.